When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Stuart Robson, Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Only one place to start, really. And that's at the Etihad. Manchester City take on at Manchester United. It'll be United. It would draw first blood in some style. What a goal from Marcus Rashford to make it 1-0. City, though, would get all their goals in the second half. The first, with an element of controversy, as it looked like Kyle Walker had fouled Marcus Rashford in the build-up, but in the end, it wasn't called back. And then a brilliant strike from Phil Foden would make it 1-1. Foden then again from the back of the net to make it 2-1 with 10 minutes to go. And then Erling Haaland, who had an incredible miss in the first half, would finally get his goal. It would see Manchester City beat Manchester United by 3-1. Here's what Ten Hag had to say after the game.
Rashi confirmed to me there was contact, and I saw it back. It was very soft, but if you, I understand when you, and you will understand when you are in a full speed run, and you get a little touch, then you are out of control. And that I think that what's happened. We have many problems now in injuries, and still we had an opportunity because it was a really small match. As I say, we could have scored the second goal. We could have scored the second goal in a debatable moment. From January, we scored many goals. So I think we're really progressing on that side. Our front line is absolutely a threat. I think we were really close to win or at least get a draw here.
As promised, Stuart Robson has joined us, who smells lovely, by the way, today. before we get into Ten Hag's comments, just the game overall, Stevie. It was fascinating just to see how it all played out, wasn't it? Manchester United did well in the first half, and then it all kind of fell apart after the break.
Well, I had Chelsea in my brain. I was thinking this could be another Chelsea. Man United completely and totally pinned in their own box. And they get the break and they get the goal, and it's all of a sudden they've got something to run around now and challenge and press the ball. But the big picture, they got battered. I mean, they got battered. I mean, Ten Hag's on about, well, we could have won the game or even... He had one shot on goal. I mean, come on. If you want to look at little isolated incidents, then yes. Had that been the other way around, Man City probably get a foul on the Rashford one. But at the same time, big picture, my goodness, Onana could be the man of the match for Man United. And if your goalie's your man of the match, that tells you all you need to know. They got, in football terms, this was men against boys. But you've got to give them credit. They stuck at it.
That's it. So brave. It's like FA Cup third round, isn't it? Well, they went, they were brave, they stuck at
it. They
put up a fight. This is pathetic. It's Manchester
Listen,
United.
I'll be honest. I thought Manchester United were better than I was expecting them to be. I thought this would be all one-way traffic. But I thought, man, you saw what the game plan was. To sit deep, three banks, a 4-3-3, very, very few or very small spaces in between those banks. And force or try to frustrate Manchester City, and then try to utilise Rashford and Garnacho on the counter attack. And they had opportunities, not just the goal. Garnacho was clean through once. Rashford had another good opportunity as well, where he got the other side of Walker earlier on before that first goal for Manchester City. So it may have worked. Again, more kind of United frustrating the opponent, as you saw against Liverpool, as opposed to Manchester United just beating the opponent for football. Once the halftime break came, you knew that Pep Guardiola was going to make changes. Erik ten Hag and Man United did not. It was more of the same. And in the end, just City's quality shone through.
Why did it work in the first half and not the second?
It didn't really work in the first half.
OK.
Manchester City, Haaland missed a chance that he's never going to miss ever again.
Yep.
It's a great chance for him. Kevin De Bruyne was running the game. He's playing little 1-2s. They're crossing the ball in the box. The only thing that worked for Manchester United was they got a great goal to start with, and it gave them something to cling on to when balls were played into the box. The two centre-halves did all right. The Lindelof did OK, getting in the way of shots. Onana did OK. But in terms of the general play, Manchester City were miles, miles better than Manchester United. And only a bit of luck and some good goalkeeping and a couple of centre-halves that got blocks in. So any manager in the world can say, well, let's get 10 men behind the ball and defend in numbers and let's make it difficult. They didn't really make it difficult, apart from the last shot, the last finish, because Man City completely dominated. And Guardiola said after the game, we were much better in the first half than we were in the second half.
What do you make of Ten Hag's comments saying that United could have won it?
No, absolute rubbish. I mean, the goal they scored in was a great goal from Rashford, but it started with Man City being a bit sloppy, with Onana kicking the ball long, Bruno Fernandes getting in, and he sets up Rashford. Man City at times took a gamble to try and play a high offside line when they didn't really need to, because the only player that was going to try and run in behind them was Bruno Fernandes, and the two other players, the fast players, were playing out wider. I just can't see how they can ever think that they were a match for Man City and how they could have won the game. Man City were miles, miles better.
Do you really think that Ten Hag is convincing anybody that the way we set up nearly worked?
Mm.
They had no choice. He could have set up whatever way he wanted to,
right,
and they would have had no choice. They would have had to defend what Man City were doing. End of story.
Mm.
And that means getting 10 men behind the ball. So we set up to do this and we set up to do that nonsense. They got battered.
So is it not Ten Hag's fault? Is it literally the personnel? Just Manchester United players are not good enough to compete against a team like Manchester City?
The second question is absolutely easy peasy answer. Yes. And the first one, I think to begin with in Ten Hag's tenure, You could blame the players more than him. But let's be honest, we've been listening to some nonsense coming from him
right,
all season. And the fact, he actually did it again today. He got beat at Fulham, again he got outplayed, and he said that, big picture, we're moving forward with positives. And he had the gall to turn around after this game and say the same thing, we're getting better. I mean, come on, seriously. Does he think we're all daft? And if he really believes that, then absolutely he's the wrong man.
What did you make of the Walker-Rashford challenge ahead of the equaliser?
Well, Rashford scored a great goal, but his general performance was pretty poor. And to go down that easily was pathetic.
Right.
You know, and it might have been a slight touch in. And Ten Hag was trying to say that people that don't play the game wouldn't know that, you know, if you're going to that
space... Because he's moving...
Yeah, so fast. And any little nudge, you fall over. He fell over far too easily. And he's got to stay on his feet. It's a great opportunity. He's in behind Walker, or down the side of Walker. Stay on your feet. Keep the ball. So, yeah, I think it sums up the way Rashford has played in recent weeks.
What do you think, Stevie?
I think it was the other way around. Probably the referee would have given it.
Oh, so it was a foul?
Well, listen, if you put your hand on somebody and pull them back, then it's a foul. And then the argument as well, is it strong enough? Is it soft enough? Is it not? But at the end of the day, I think part of the problem the referee never gave it is because Rashford made such a drama out of a little thing that convinced him that he was looking for it. And I'm with Robbo. You're one-on-one with Walker. You get past Walker, you're in on goal. Why are you even thinking about going down?
Why are we even talking about it? Like, it is like it's such a small part, and as much as Manchester United fans might want to hang their hat on that.
Manchester United.
It's not why they lost the game. Sorry, Shaq.
Yeah.
No problem. United and the fans don't have an awful lot to hang their head on, hang their hat on to use your phrase today. Certainly, I think if it's at Old Trafford, you could make the argument that Manchester United get that call. Had the referee given the foul, everybody says, well, it's a soft foul, but you move on quite quickly. To see City go down the other end and score straight away, of course, if you're a Manchester United fan, that kind of rubs it the wrong way, and you can't help but wonder, what if. But we've played this game, and there's home field advantage,
right.
And this kind of sums it up.
But it was inevitability, yeah? City were going to score at some stage.
I was watching the game with Ali earlier on, and after 20 minutes, I think it could be one of those games where everything is going to just be wide, or the keepers...
The Haaland miss kind of thing.
Yeah, and you think, oh, I mean, they're dominating the game. So, you know, every time you got the ball in around the box, there's a chance, there's a last-minute block. He doesn't quite hit the target. Doku was making some mistakes out on the left-hand side, didn't really affect the game. So you thought it could be one of those games where they have 36 shots and don't score, and they're just unlucky. But eventually, once they scored that first goal, there was only going to be one winner.
And what a goal it was from Phil Foden, who's having arguably his best ever season as a professional footballer at City. 18 goals, 10 assists. He's contributed then, if you add those two, up to 28. Pep Guardiola was asked after the game if he is the best player in the Premier League.
He is right now, this season, I've been the best so far. Always had the feeling to score goals in the training sessions, always had the feeling. But now he's winning games, so... To become a world-class player at that age, you had to win games. And always play good, always having travel, work ethic. Doesn't matter the position, no complain. He lives to play football, but now he's winning games.
Best in the Premier League?
As good as there is at the moment. And he's absolutely right. Whenever he got the ball today, you expected something to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that, when you're looking at a game, you think, who's going to make something happen? Foden, playing on the right-hand side, because he can play on the left, he can play as a number 10, but he was playing on the right today and cutting in on his left foot as he scored the goal. Then he moved across for the second goal. But when he had the ball, along with Kevin De Bruyne, you think something's going to happen. They're two magnificent players at the moment.
Best in the Premier League, Stevie?
I've been sitting here trying to think of somebody else who would be better going forward.
Right.
And I can't really. And I don't think there's anybody else in the Premier League... and maybe even outside the Premier League, who, regardless of where you give him the ball, whether you give him it down his throat, in his neck, hit him in the backside, where he finds a way of instantly putting that ball in the right place so that he can then make his pass or make his shot or whatever it is. I mean, his touch is just frightening.
Listen, there's... Right now, it's hard to pick a better player than Phil Foden. And while we talk about Manchester City, you could talk about so many of their players who have, at times, outsized impacts, whether we're talking Rodri or De Bruyne or Haaland, despite his miss today. But somehow, whenever you need somebody to step up, Phil Foden just is there. Never seems to do an awful lot wrong, regardless. And then when you need that performance, when you need that telling touch, he somehow is the one providing it. So while he may fly in relative terms below the radar against some of those players for Manchester City, it's hard to pick somebody who's more important.
We're going to win the Euros, Robbo.
Here we go.
Yes!
I mean, you've got some England players are playing well at the moment.
They're good.
Yeah, they're very good
what
at the moment.
What can possibly go wrong?
They've got to have a manager that can combine it all. Yeah.
I believe, Stevie. That's very exciting. Well, that's very good. So, title race. What does this mean, Stevie?
Oof. Well, it means that City are still the favourites.
Right.
You know, City from the first game have been the team to beat. We spoke all of the first part of the season about how this team gets it together when it matters most. And I was one that said, you know what, they can't keep doing that. Well, it looks like they're doing it. So they're stepping into Anfield and they couldn't have picked a better time because as great a story as Liverpool is, it's great talking about young kids doing well, you know, winning a cup final, winning games away from home. I mean, it's almost... I can't believe this.
Is it about the only place that Man City fear going? Over the years, when they've been playing brilliantly, they've struggled.
Yeah, but under normal circumstances, but this is not normal circumstances. This is about as dangerous for Liverpool as it could be. The fact that they will go forward against this team. I mean, you give this team an inch and they will absolutely rip you apart. That's my worry. Because Liverpool will go forward. That's the way Klopp plays. Mm. That's the way Liverpool play at Anfield. That means there's going to be holes. And if there's a team you don't want to leave any holes to, and you can go through them all as we've just done, You're scared of four or five people and we've seen ripping you apart. That's the biggest problem.
In a week, we've seen two teams try and play Man City totally differently.
Yeah, Luton.
We saw Luton say, right, we're going to go man for man. We're going to leave Haaland against the centre-half. You're going to push in on their wide players. You're going to push in on in midfield. We're going to try and press them up the front. They got destroyed. Today, we saw Manchester United do exactly the opposite and still, to a certain degree, got destroyed.
Arsenal fans will be shouting, saying, hey, wait a minute, we are still very much in this title race as well. It's not a two-horse race. And Arsenal are in action on Monday, away against Sheffield United. Arsenal have been a bit better than Sheffield United, you might be surprised to learn. 100% over the last six matches. Sheffield United one win. Arsenal plus 22, having scored 25 goals. Meanwhile, Sheffield United at minus 10. So what does that mean? What does that mean for everyone's predictions? Let's take a look. 5-0, 4-0, 4-0, 3-0. There we go.
Stuart, they'd be in the conservative one.
Will be... Well, of course. Of course, it's Arsenal, isn't it? It doesn't forgive them for banning him. Right, we'll be back tomorrow to reflect on Arsenal against Sheffield United. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It was far from a classic. Athletic Club 0, Barcelona 0. San Mamés, bad news for Barca. Both Pedri and De Jong going off for injured, and it looks serious. That's what Xavi said after the game. What does that mean? Well, with regards to the title race, Girona lost. Barca dropped points. Atleti got the win. Real Madrid, of course, drew on Saturday. But it's looking more and more likely, doesn't it, that Carlo Ancelotti once again lead Real Madrid to the title. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, the most optimistic Barcelona fans were going through and thinking, look, maybe, you know, if we win out, beat Real Madrid in the Clásico as well, there's a chance we could be in this title race. You looked at their fixtures and you would look at this one and think, well, if you're going to do that, this is going to be a big test. They didn't win today. Is that over now?
We want this league to be over every single weekend, but definitely it's getting more difficult and more difficult. There are less games, and Barcelona shows that it is not getting the momentum again. Today was a very poor game and it went too bad. To worse, because the two players into the midfield that can provide, can create something, they were injured, and the replacement, as you could see, Rafinha is not a player who can play there. Actually, the whole team didn't manage to get something from Athletic Club de Bilbao that arrived today with a head more into the cup than into the league, with a lot of rotation, with a lot less intensity than the one we saw during the midweek. And with an idea on their head that Barcelona needed to make something from the back, trying to build from the back, but no ideas into the middle. Christiansen is a player, of course, he's going to give you that balance into midfield and to going back, but not going forward. A player that is not into the middle. Lewandowski is a player that it was very important today, because when you receive so much pressure from Athletic Club, you need your center forward to hold the ball, allow the second line to arrive, the layoff, and start building from there. But in those moments, Lewandowski was not able to keep the ball and to try to continue playing. So a very poor game from Barcelona side that I think they created only two chances in the whole game. And from Athletic Club, it's a good point for them because in the end, the most important right now for them is to continue and win that Copa del Rey final.
Let's talk about Pedri, shall we, Luis? At halftime, you made it, you summed it up. He's like in a vicious circle of doom at the moment, isn't he? With regarding all these muscular injuries, he just can't get a run of games going.
Yeah, exactly. I think we start thinking about what did we do wrong with him as when he started playing when he was 17 years old. He managed to play 17. Everybody wanted to use him, the national team, the under 21 in the Olympics. Also, Barcelona wanted to play him every single weekend. And in the end, I think that something went wrong right there. And when he received that injury, since then, he's been in that vice circle that an injury and then an injury. And it's so difficult to get out of that because he's still growing. He's still making the muscle grow. He's a very young kid and needs to continue working on that. And you want it and Barcelona needs him. So you push him. And right now is a moment where we saw the frustration on his face. So disappointed because he wanted to continue building up. And well, we are going to miss him once again, Barcelona, because he's going to be out at least for 3 or 4 more weeks.
After the game, Gemma caught up with Ter Stegen.
This is always a difficult game to play away from home. I think it's a great stadium and at the end, well, we wanted to win. We wanted to get the 3 points and we couldn't. We're disappointed about getting only 1 point here. But well, we're gonna keep fighting for the rest of what is left, and let's see what comes out at the end. But our hope and our desire still is really high, and I'm sure that we will have our chances. Obviously, if two players can't continue, this is really tough. No, this is for every team. It's tough because normally these two players are also key starters, and they give us also structure. And obviously, then everything moves. And well, at the end, I hope that it's nothing really bad. That they will be with us really soon, and I wish them obviously the best from here, but also later in the locker room.
Robbo, you're on the call, of course, for this game. It's terrible. It's your fault.
As you always say when it's a bad game.
Well, yeah.
No, it wasn't a good game. Athletic Club are still probably tired from the semi-final they played in midweek. They worked hard defensively. It was a blow that De Jong went off because, as Ter Stegen was just saying there, he's one of the players that gives them the structure. He's the one that can manipulate the ball and pick out a pass and just buy them time to make their forward runs. With Christensen as the holding midfield player, you're getting no creativity off him. So there's the creativity gone from their side, really. Pedri was playing on the left-hand side. He had to go off. And Firmino is a good player, but he didn't really affect the game. Lewandowski didn't get enough service and probably didn't do enough when it did come to him. And Rafinha was disappointing today. So there was many aspects about Barcelona's play that wasn't very good. And Cancelo got man of the match, but I thought he was very wasteful with so much of the possession that he got. He was the outball down the left-hand side. They were putting the wide player tucking in. It was Firmino later on. It was to start with Pedri. They were switching the play out to him. He had time and time again, he could have got crosses into the box, and he didn't do so.
So that, that finished 0-0, of course, yesterday. It was 2-2 at Mestalla with a little hint of controversy at the end. Of course, Real Madrid thought they completed the comeback, but the referee had blown the full-time whistle. Scandal. All the front pages of the sports newspapers. Xhaka, you weren't here yesterday. What did you make of it?
I thought it was a poor refereeing decision. The unwritten rule in refereeing is every team is in possession, you don't blow the whistle. And while, yes, listen, I get it, you're a long time over, you're 90 seconds over the allotted, 7 minutes, I think it is, they showed. Blow the whistle on the first clearance. As Brian Diaz picks this ball up and is shaping the cross, I just thought, at that point, you don't blow. A couple of players for Valencia stop. So you understand the confusion, you understand the frustration. I don't understand the red card, in all honesty.
Well, let's discuss that because you were talking about that yesterday with Sid. Mm. Obviously, afterwards, when the goal was annulled, Bellingham running up to the referee and saying, it's a F goal, and therefore the referee showed the red card. Sid tried to defend him yesterday. You two weren't having any of it.
Well, no, because you know that if you make an aggressive if you go towards a referee in an aggressive manner, he's going to pull his cards out, regardless of what you come out with. And actually, you're not allowed to do that either. It's against the rules.
I think we actually were answering. Ancelotti said in his press conference afterwards, he was swearing, but he wasn't having a go at the referee. But he ran vehemently towards the referee and was remonstrating with him. And we said...
Vehement?
That was the word he used. And we said, you can't do that. So you can't allow your players to do that.
So the red card is the right thing?
No.
We didn't actually see him do it, so we can't actually say what...
Well, we just saw the replay.
We saw the red card, but yes. We didn't see Bellingham race up to the referee and get his face.
If you said, let's show that again.
Look at how many players are on the referee to start with anyway. So everybody kind of... I mean, Lunin is next to the referee. So in terms of charging at the referee...
And there's Bellingham there. Now Bellingham
arrives. Right. Now. Bellingham doesn't do anything different from anybody else. Lunin is running length of the pitch. Carvajal is right. It charges them exactly the same.
There's always collateral damage.
I'm just saying.
Bellingham is just unfortunate that he's standing right in front of the referee. Whether there's five or six others having a go at him, the referee's thinking, right, I'm going to have to get control here.
He decides he has to pick on somebody, and as it happens, he picks on the last man. Listen, if that's the referee decides,
that's what they do.
I just don't sympathise. I just don't sympathise.
So you, when Real Madrid are going to appeal, by the way, you would say, right, no suspension.
Yeah, I would say no suspension, absolutely.
But you, Stephen,
you can't do that.
Right.
No, the argument is a yellow. Because you can't go towards the referee in an aggressive manner and think that he's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
So the argument would be, is it a yellow or a red? Now, a yellow would have been fine, but because of the situation, because there's a dozen people around him screaming in his ear, he thinks he's going to control things by pulling his cards out.
Right.
Pulls a red one out.
He's heard the F word and he's gone...
Yeah, and if you look at Bellingham, it's aggressive. The manner is aggressive. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
You can't do that.
You don't agree with Xhaka?
No, I don't agree with Xhaka. Xhaka would allow... if he was a manager, he'd allow his players to do anything, wouldn't he?
That's not aggressive.
Just running him up.
Just suspend everybody then.
Meanwhile, this isn't the first time that we've seen this happen in La Liga. If we go back to Vidalid against Sevilla for last season, do you remember this? The shot comes in and he scores. But he's already blown.
He's already blown.
The whistle for half-time.
What they could say is the ball was coming out of the box at the time. Same thing we were saying you should give blow the whistle for.
Yes.
It's coming out of the box, they've defended it, so he's blown the whistle. He thinks the end of the move, and the bloke shoots from 30 yards. And
right.
That's a bit different, I would say.
There we are, then. There it is. That's the goal. One more thing. A viral video after the game, as Jude Bellingham was leaving Mestalla, of course, very much loved in Spain overall since he made that move from Germany. And you can see him here taking time out, speaking to the kids, signing autographs despite all that frustration.
Well, he's a good character. There's no doubt about it. He's a very mature for his age and his ability and how he's been perceived around the world.
You wanted him suspended.
Oh, get him out. He's a good character.
5 minutes ago.
He's a good character. I mean, he's intelligent. He's a great example to a lot of young players, apart from having a go at the referee. And I would say in the last few weeks, he's been a bit more sulky in the way he's handled himself with referees and the opposition. When he first came, he was smiling, he was scoring goals, he looked like the all-round player, which he still is. But he just looks as though he's a little bit more sulky.
So we got a nice video, and now you've kind of turned it into...
It's harsh! Rob was harsh.
But he's a good
player. Why are you pulling that face?
No, you said. You know, it went from, oh, what a great chap.
He's sulking with everybody, cousin referees, everything.
Just a reminder, extra time is always available over on our YouTube channel. Stevie's earpiece has had issues. Who would win 11 semis in their prime against you at 50, 11?
He was convinced. He's told that boy's not right.
I don't think he'd be able to get the ball.
I've realised after working with him, he's not right, is he?
He's not.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that about a colleague. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a season it's turning out to be for Bayer Leverkusen and Xavi Alonso's side with another win on Sunday. That means they played 34 games, won 30, drawn 4. They're currently unbeaten. They are 10 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga. Let's get some reaction after their latest win. Archie caught up with Xhaka.
Do you feel like the team is in its best phase in terms of the performances that are coming? Or because watching on, it seems like teams are giving you more respect as weeks go on.
I think we deserve the respect as well. I mean, if you play the season like you are playing at the moment, 24 games unbeaten in the league, over 30 games unbeaten in all season, something very, very special. But you need to deserve the respect as well. And I think that we are doing at the moment good job. The respect between us is amazing. The work we are doing day by day, the humble how we are working as well, the hunger is here. And what do you want more? You have to enjoy it.
Complete this sentence. Being 10 points clear with 10 games to go is?
It's good and we can be proud of it, but nothing is won yet. I'm speaking about my own experience, what I had last season. And I think we was similar points over the second and we didn't win the league. So I know the experience. This is what I share the dressing room as well, that of course 10 points is a lot in football, for sure, when you have 10 games left. But with 10 points over, after taking another 30 points you can take, it's not over.
As in, you've said to the guys in the dressing room, lads, what happened to us at Arsenal, I'm telling you, be careful.
For sure, and they know, because they're asking me day by day, you've been in this situation as well, how was it and what happened, and I try to explain them, but you can't explain with words, you have to feel it. That's why let's stay humble, let's work day by day like we are doing all the season, and let's calculate and let's see where we are after 34 games.
As I mentioned then, 10 games to go, 10 points the difference between Bayer Leverkusen and defending champions Bayern Munich. They can't blow this, can they, Robbo?
Absolutely not, because they've got a coach that is doing all the right things. The players are well focused, they've got a good shape to their side, they've tactically got a good understanding, they've got physicality, they've got players that are playing with massive confidence. And to be overtaken, you need somebody below you who's going to win every game from now to the end of the season. Yep. And at the moment, Bayern Munich don't look like being that side.
There's a different feel, isn't there, to last season, where Dortmund, of course, were top for much of the... But you never really trusted Dortmund.
No, well, they scrambled so many times, Dortmund.
Yeah.
And the problems that Dortmund had and still have were so obvious defensively that there was always a possibility that they were going to lose games. You can't say that about Leverkusen. They are so well-rounded. They're strong at the back. They're strong in the middle, but they've got some inventiveness, and they've got people up front who are scoring goals. And that's without Boniface as well, who's still injured.
I didn't see the power rankings this week. I assume Bayer Leverkusen...
Oh, they were fantastic.
Still top, Shaq?
They were second.
They were brilliant.
Liverpool were top.
Why? Because he was on.
Liverpool just won silverware.
They just won silverware.
I'm sorry.
Why?
Oh, my goodness. Bayer Leverkusen haven't lost a game all season.
Well, yes, but... Liverpool just won silverware, so they're top. Listen, but Leverkusen, you can't see Bayern toppling them for all the reasons that Stuart and Stevie just expressed. I thought you saw the worst of Leverkusen a few weeks ago, where some of their performances just seemed a little bit panicked, a little bit chaotic. But then you get through that, and everybody has a bad spell every single season. You get through that without losing a game. You get through that still top of the table. And now you've kind of regained control, regained your form. You just don't see anybody stopping them at this point.
Just a reminder, all of the remaining games live on ESPN Plus from now until the end of the season. Taking a look at the upcoming matches next weekend. Bayern Munich in action at 9:30 as they take on Mainz. Bayer Leverkusen is the late game as they play host to Wolfsburg at 2:30. Remember, the clocks go forward in Europe. It's going to be very complicated. Everything's going to be an hour late.
You've forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, no, our clocks.
Clocks change.
Oh, so that's how complicated it is.
Oh, yeah. See, I've already complicated it. I had a 50-50 chance and it went wrong.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Haven't been many positives for Napoli so far this season. Definitely one on Sunday, though, as they would beat Juventus by 2-1. Raspadori scoring the winner after Osman's penalty was saved, giving them all 3 points. And it's great news, isn't it, for Inter Milan, who are going to win this season. Look at that. They're already 12 points clear at the top of the table, and they have a game in hand. They'll be reflecting on that and, of course, everything else has been happening in the world of football over the weekend on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure, though, to stay tuned as Extra Time is up next, where the boys will answer some of your questions.
Question for Shaka.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie has a question for Shaka. Here
it is. Write in.
Here we go. It's exciting.
Write in.
Shaka, who
you
did
got
you
to write in?
Oh, I've got to write in.
Yes, but you're off X Twitter.
Yeah. Where did you hear it with that unwritten rule of refereeing?
Huh?
You know that unwritten rule of refereeing?
Yeah.
It's about the Real Madrid goal.
Everybody knows that, Stephen.
Yeah, what is it again? I've forgotten it.
You don't blow the whistle when the team's on the attack.
I didn't know that. That unwritten rule.
What's going on? What am I missing here? What are they being mean?
He's unwritten rule. What's he on about?
The unwritten rule. Learn how to read.
Oh, that's not very nice, is it? Yeah.
Where's that book?
Okay, here we go. We have the questions. How are you, Robbo? You're having a lovely time?
I'm having a lovely time, yeah. I haven't seen you so much. Yeah. Stevie gave me a lift home last night, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. We're going for dinner tonight, aren't we?
Are we?
I think so.
Stevie
only really invited me because he was hoping that I would give him a lift home afterwards. Which I've told you I'm not going to do because it's a bit out of my way. What's the over-under for extra time minutes expired before Robbo mentions Shaka's Maserati? I felt it hasn't been mentioned for a while.
No, well, I think it's all gone now. I think it's been said enough.
Yeah, too much?
Yeah, right.
I think we all know that he's flash, so we don't need to say
that anymore. There's the next question about Phil Neal.
Yeah.
What can Barcelona achieve this season? Robbo, you commented this game. They're in trouble now, aren't they? They've got Napoli's second leg. They probably won't have Pedri, won't have De Jong.
I think they'll beat Napoli.
Oh, do you think so?
But I don't think they'll get any further than that.
No.
They're going to come second in La Liga.
Oh.
Girona are playing poorly at the moment.
Yes.
They'll get enough points to get second, but they won't get anywhere near Real Madrid.
Okay.
So that's what they can expect.
Stevie, when the manager is delusional about his team's bad performances, how do players react to it? Are they secretly relieved that their manager thinks they did all right and happy to escape the blame, or are they worried about being managed by someone who is clueless?
don't know who this could be in reference.
Well, the experienced guys and the sensible guys, after a while, will start scratching their head.
Right.
Because we all understand when the manager comes out after a game and says things that we know are not true, but you kind of figure a reason why he's doing it.
Okay.
I think he's either doing it to protect you or whatever it may be.
Protect himself as well?
There's many reasons, but eventually, after a while, when the manager keeps talking about how well the team's doing and how things are getting better, you know as a player when the team's playing well and the team's not playing well, and the new manager keeps coming out spouting rubbish,
right?
You start thinking, hold on a second, is this guy serious?
What he says in the dressing room might be totally different to what he says in the press, but the people that will get upset by him, or by any manager, keep saying, oh, we did okay and we could have won the game, when they obviously played badly, are the fans. The fans go, why is our manager telling us, we've watched the game, that our team are playing well? That's when you get in trouble as a manager.
Oh, we just talked about this. Shaq, percentage of chance that Barcelona qualify for the next Champions League stage after Pedri and De Jong's injury. So it's 1-1, isn't it, after the first leg in Italy?
Yeah, I just have no confidence in this version of Barcelona. I agree with Robbo, I think they finished second, but almost by default. They finished second in La Liga because Girona are plummeting, and Girona have been a fantastic story all season long. Let's take nothing away from them. But they finished second just because nobody else has put together anywhere of a decent run and can challenge them. So now without two key players up against Napoli, I'm not sure they get past Napoli.
No, so, and to answer the question?
What was the question again?
Percentage chance. Dom's not answering this question either.
I'm going to go 55% Napoli, 45% Barcelona.
Higher or lower, Stephen?
I'm going with Shaka.
Yeah, 55-45.
Robbo was really quick and really positive that Barcelona were going to beat Napoli.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not because Barcelona are playing particularly well, but I don't think Napoli are a good side.
Napoli just beat Juventus.
I'm going with Shaka.
I've seen Juventus play in the last couple of weeks. They're not a particularly good side.
Shaka's been ill, by the way, since he's come back from carnival.
Sneezing, nose is running.
The unwritten rule is when you follow a keeper, you have to agree with them.
Yep.
What are you talking about? What?
Well, you're the master of unwritten rules. Everybody knows that one.
God. Right, for Stevie, in order to win on Sunday, what must Liverpool do to have any chance?
Clean sheet, easy peasy. Clean sheet, get a bit of luck. Keller has got to be at his best.
Right.
And the back four have got to defend like Trojans.
OK.
Because they will cause some problems going forward.
Yes.
Because Liverpool, that's what they do.
Yep.
But it's all about...
But will they match up to Man City? Will they go and try and press them? And will they try and play high intensity? Or will they sit deep and just allow Man City to...
No, they'll try and play the game. I don't think they can play any other way.
And the game is at Anfield, yes?
The game is at Anfield,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How do you use Madison, Saka, Foden, Bellingham behind Kane in the Euros?
Who's that from? Dan Thomas?
Thomas? We're brilliant.
Say those names again.
Madison, Saka, Foden, Bellingham, Kane.
I'm not sure the manager will pick Madison at the moment. I think he'll play Saka one side. He'll probably play Foden the other side.
Yes.
Who were the other ones? Kane, you're going to play up front, obviously.
Yeah, Bellingham.
Bellingham in behind. Yeah. If I was playing Bellingham now, I wouldn't put him all the way back in central midfield as he's done before.
Yes.
You'd play him as a second striker. Because
and then
that's
Declan
where
Rice holding.
Declan Rice holding.
It's going to be brilliant, Stevie.
How excited Dad is.
The problem is, the guy that's going to decide, that's the problem.
What? Well, how can you not...
the guy who's going to decide who plays and who doesn't...
They've just told him where to play. If he's watching, then it's easy. Fish, bash, bosh.
How excited Dad is.
Because you look at you're going to get to the semi, you're going to come out all guns blazing, you're going to go one up after about 10 minutes, and then he'll start taking all the forwards off and get everybody in tight.
No, we're going to win it.
When the big games have come around, he's made some bad tactical decisions.
Lose 2-1.
Yeah, all right. Stop being so excited about that fact.
I mean, personally, I hope they don't even reach the semi, but...
Who's the back four?
Oh, blimey, yeah.
I forgot you hate England.
I mean, Chilwell, now he's fit, could play at left-back.
No,
he's not. Shaw's not fit. Shaw was his left-back for a while. He's going to play Stones at centre-half, I'd imagine.
Yes.
He's played Maguire in most games. Maguire's back in the Manchester United team, so he's been loyal,
isn't he?
And he's done well for England.
right back, it's difficult because the outstanding one's not fit, which is the Chelsea fullback who's not played for quite some while. So they've got to pick somebody at right back.
Walker is the player that has to play at right back.
Yeah, I don't think that's even a debate, is it?
That's fine. How did Robbo get to Spain and back that fast?
Of course, did.
I tell you what. When you turn left in the plane, some of those planes go really quickly.
Wow, yeah. Did you ever travel on Concorde back in the day?
No, I didn't.
No, I thought that'd be kind of your sort of
not
thing.
Not really, no.
No?
No. I didn't have that much money.
Did you do Concorde?
I did, I.
Did you?
Did you?
Yeah, that must have been a freebie.
Yeah, clearly Steve had that much money.
Hold on. It was from Manchester to Glasgow. So it never even got high enough to get any speed up. It was his last trip.
What a waste of time. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
You could have taken an Uber.
I got there quicker.
Well, that's a disappointment.
Oh, we got a flight.
I was expecting. There you are. Chucky, you're an engineer. Do you like Concorde?
I've never taken a Concorde.
Oh. Well, can't now. It's gone.
I might get one from Manchester to Glasgow.
For Robbo, now that you're back in the US, what are you doing? Or where are you going first? Is there anything you want to see or do that you didn't get to do the last time you were here?
Well, I try and avoid you most of the time, but I come back to the US.
That's a lie, to you? No, you love it. Oh, Robbo loves it.
Work, Dan.
Very much.
You have to research the games you're doing. Research
you're
for these
doing
shows.
Any games now, are you? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Research for the shows. Then.
Show research. What's that? Watching the game.
Well, watching the games. Yeah. I haven't got time to do anything else.
Oh, you got plenty of time. Did you go to the gym yesterday?
No, I didn't. Oh. I went this morning instead.
Oh, lovely. Yep. Very nice. Did you go for a swim, jacuzzi, the whole shebang?
No. An hour, half an hour on the cross trainer. And
yes.
A few weights for half an hour, and that was my lot.
Has Stevie shared with you his new exercise regime?
No. What's Stevie's fitness regime then?
Yeah, what's what have got planned for you?
I'm flying.
Right. Come.
An hour walk in the morning.
Yeah. With the dog.
Yeah.
Biggest dog in the world.
5 minutes to an hour swim in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then take the dog out again.
Because he can't. His arm doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Swim.
But what I would say, Stevie, and particularly Shepard, when we're doing the game, Rob and I are doing the games from Spain or Hammersmith, wherever. The standard dress code now is magnificent on the show.
Wow, there you are.
It is a million times better than it used to be, wouldn't you say?
I don't know, I don't really pay that much attention.
Well, we do. We watch it. Apart from Craig's T-shirts,
they've
got to go. They've got to go.
Kieran Gibbs's fault.
That's a Gen Z. That's a Gen Z influence.
You missed out part of your exercise regime.
Well, I haven't started that bit yet.
But tell Robbo what it's going to be.
Well, I don't know, because you haven't shown me. Emily came in last week, right?
Yeah.
She went, right, so we started swimming last week again, because we, like, let it go. We'd been doing it, and we let it go.
Yeah.
So, as I said, walk in the morning, walk at night, did the swimming, and she went, right, we're going to do the swimming, and then when we come back, we're going to do sitting exercises.
Sitting exercises? What's
and I was like, ah, so did you see that on the phone this morning? Where did you see that? She went, no, I'm researching it just now.
Right.
We're going to do that.
So you literally sat in the chair doing stretches?
I don't know, because I haven't done it yet.
That's exciting.
I keep asking her.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. You can live stream it for us.
I think you've been sitting great today, Steve.
I've got to say, you're looking
well.
$1 million. It's working.
You're one of the best sitters I've seen for a long time.
Beautifully. You can go swimming in the winter, though.
Oh, no.
No. Indoor pool. That's it, we're done. Are we done? We are. ESPN FC's back tomorrow. Arsenal are taking on...
Stand up now, Steve.
Arsenal are taking on Sheffield United. You're here, Robbo, yeah?
Oh, I am, yes.
Which one of you two is here?
I'm here.
There you go. What are you going to do, Steve? Oh, you're
doing exercises. That's what he's going to be doing.
I'm far too busy.